Thank you for joining us for another grace-filled message provided by Gordon Clarkson. Gordon is the founder and senior elder of Kingdom Reign Ministries, Cape Town, South Africa. His ministry and calling is to bring the church into accurate alignment with biblical and eternal standards, empowering all generations to become future leaders and true sons of God. We hope that this message will be a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose in and through the body of Christ.
Good morning once again to you. My privilege to greet you in the wonderful name of your Lord and my Lord this morning. And once again, as always, my privilege, my humble privilege to share God's word with you this morning. And wherever you are this morning, where the sound of my voice is being heard, I hope that the word of the Lord will come with strength and strengthen you in all areas of your life as you submit yourself to the speakings of God this morning. My message is very much prophetic this morning, and I would like to speak. I titled my message here this morning, The Rising Church. The Rising Church, I believe strongly in my heart, where you find yourself in whatever nation. This is the thing that must be on the lookout, that there is now truly a rising church, not rising as in about to rise, but a rising church that is ready to reap the promises of the Lord in our lives. Allow me to direct you to my portion of scripture this morning of Isaiah 60. From verse 1, it says here, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. All Kedar's flock will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple." For the sake of time and of this message, I will stop there in my reading. Thus, I think, from here on this morning, we will build a series around Isaiah 60 and the following up chapters. So, for me this morning, the prophetic sound in my spirit is the words, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." This whole portion of scripture, the theme of this chapter, wishes to draw attention to the great increase and the flourishing state of the Church of Jesus Christ. This is a prophetic time. This is a well-selected time. It's a prophetic time appointed by the Lord Himself in His counsel for the commencement of a glorious, glorious epoch in the Lord. The expectancy displayed in this chapter, chapter 60, is to unfold, seems to elevate the church even above his usual majesty. A flourishing moment is on the doorsteps of the church. We must believe that. The question is, will this happen for the church? It is undeniable that the world will face and experience gross darkness. Darkness here, if you read the portion of Scripture in Isaiah 60, then darkness will indicate high levels of confusion, ignorance, and uncertainty in the nations. These aspects are all associated with a disorder in the nations, which will be the very reason causing them to look to the holy nation and acknowledge a special relationship with God. We are now in that time where the nations will take note of the church. The prophet Isaiah throws himself into the midst of the future scene where these events are described as a passing vision before his eyes. Isaiah, he sees the light in verse 1 as already shining, and the glory of the Lord arises upon the church. Isaiah's vision reveals the Gentile nations flocking to the Lord, bringing their most valued and prized possessions and lay them at the feet of the church. This is the glorious church that we are about to enter now. We sense it all over. The atmosphere is loaded. Heaven is open, and heaven wants to give us access to these things. Now, I'm going to do actually just a word study this morning on Isaiah 60. And it says in verse 1, "Arise and shine, for your light has come," speaking to the church. But when you read the complete context of the book of Isaiah, these words was given after the nation was in a time of affliction and persecution, and it went through a difficult period of time, and a nation that was sitting in the dust, and now suddenly the Lord is breaking the silence over that nation with a prophetic word, encouraging them to stand up from the dust. The word there then for arise means from the dust in which we have sitting as a mourning female captive. That's the picture. Isaiah 3 verse 26, it says here, "A gate shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit on the ground." Isaiah 52 verse 1 and 2 says, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." These all speaks of the church in the present time. It's like the Lord is congratulating Zion on her restoration and put her in a rightful position. Zion, in the context of Isaiah, is regarded as the seat of the church. And he says to the church, "Arise, arise and shine." And this word "arise" also describes the beginning of a new process, a new preparation time to build for the church. And if you perceive this morning and take the vision of Isaiah as a prophetic declaration for the present time, then you must take it to heart that a new process has also started for you. You must feel a deep sense of knowing that such a word like this morning is for and is about you. So the word is a strong word. Arise is used also as an imperative call to awake the church. That means to become aware of a situation and to act accordingly. This spiritual awareness that Isaiah is talking about must then lead you to a process of preparation to build. So you must feel the intensity, you must feel the urgency in your spirit that this word is coming to the very essence of who you are, and encouraging you, and make the prophetic call that you must rise and also prepare for a better day in the Lord. The word arise depicts also resurrection, a resurrection of self-worth and reasonable proud of a pride of individuals and churches. The Spirit of the Lord wants to lift you up and lift you up head and shoulders above others and also above your prevailing circumstances. So arise, the word of the Lord says this morning, arise and shine, for your light has come, because we are entering a new time where we can say that if you are, that your period of mourning in the Lord has come to an end, a time of resistance and a time of lack, time of affliction, time of persecution. These are the things that is now the Lord is declaring it as an end to your life, so he can declare a new process, because that's what the word mean arise, to declare a new process, a new beginning, a new preparation, a new building phase. He said arise and shine, and to rise and to shine is from a state of obscurity and a state of darkness, and to enter into a time of light where you are ready to enter into great times of prosperity. To shine is also the language of prophecy rather than a command. It's a call for everyone to participate in the light of God that is shining and to impart it also to other people. The word therefore shine also means to discover where you are and break forth from a dark night, or like the men on the sea, or to look out as men with at sea and to observe what they can discover after a dark and a stormy season. So this is your time. The dust is settling, the storm is calming down, and new discoveries is ahead of you in the Lord. The word shine also refers to a change in condition and a change in countenance. This word shine is a picture of a faint person where he begins to recover. It is to call a person to life or to be surrounded with God's life and wisdom. In that, when you see and observe that you are surrounded with God's life and God's wisdom, that there must then be a realization in you that God is the author of all your prosperity. To shine is not just to give light, but it also means that you become the light. Metaphorically speaking, the Lord's face may shine upon you. According to Numbers 6, verse 25 and 27, he says here, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So the Lord shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yeah, they said it is asserted that wisdom lights up a person's face. And it stands here in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1. It says here, who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. So, to talk about light is to talk about the manifestation of the Lord's splendor. So the word shine then means to live by God's known standards that will in return produce a certain quality of life in a person. Isaiah 2 verse 5 says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You will become everything God has intended you to be. Everything the Lord has intended you to be, that you will become. He said, for your light has come. Means to bring you to a new location, or to bring things to a new location, or to identify a new location. that tells me that you are that location, the new location that attracts the attention of God's favor. And it bears the meaning of coming or arriving physically or temporarily, such as a harvest, or we will say it is harvest time. It is then the ingathering of all the outstanding promises of the Lord over your life. So that's the, for your light has come. It has come, it is on your doorstep, it's all over you. And you are that place, the new location that attracts the attention of the Lord's favor. The wisdom and the knowledge is flowing to you through doctrine and teachings. The things that you privately desire is now on your doorstep. That I can prophesy to you. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, indicating abundance, riches, and a group of valuables and valuables. It's a picture of a king's daughter dressed in a full, glorious, expensive attire. That's what it means. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The princess dressed in a most glorious and expensive attire. And the Lord is saying that the honor that is upon God is also now upon us. We are clothed with royalty, majesty, and honor. Psalm 72 verse 19 says, "And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory." And he says, "Amen and amen." These are beautiful imageries. If you read beautiful imageries that speaks of how we are clothed in God's nature, how we are clothed in God's righteousness and in God's character, to a point where the people of the earth cannot ignore it any longer. We become the envy of the neighborhoods and in the nations where God has placed us. And we must know that glory is something that can be seen. Glory is something that can be touched. And glory is something that can be admired. We must lift the standard of glory so it can be seen, touched, and admired. He said, "And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, like the rising of the sun." The comparison of the rising here, of the gospel to the sun, is rising upon a dark world, and I think it's exceedingly beautiful how the light of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, appear on the horizon and just remove the darkness, the disorder, the confusion that is in the nations. Malachi 4 verse 2 says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out." This word here, risen upon you, it also refers figuratively to the rising reputation or the rising approval of a person. They will be and must be visible signs of your rising reputation with approval, and it must be observable. Your rising reputation must be observable. There are prophetic words to tell you that these things are there for the taking. If you are in the spirit realm this morning and you are in touch with what I'm saying, then I can tell you all these things are there for the taking. Now, in the Old Testament, the glory rested above the tabernacle. But now, with us, the glory wants to be in a people. He says here in Jeremiah 3 verse 16, "Then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind." So God will erase the picture of the ark of the covenant from the minds of the people, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. That tells me that the glory upon the church is 1,000 times more superior than the glory that rested on the tabernacle of Moses and what God wants to do according to this portion of Scripture. He wants to erase, He wants to raise up a standard of glory in us, so much so that the Ark of Moses will be forgotten. It will look so small. It will not be remembered. It will not come up in your mind, for because the glory of the present time will totally overshadow it, exceed it, until there is no memory that there was a tabernacle of Moses. That's the heaviness, the thickness, the density of the presence and the glory of the Lord rest upon us in these days. He said, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth." He talks about the rising sun. He talks about a rise and shine, but in the same time, he also talks about the darkness that shall cover the earth. So, clearly drawing a line between the true church of Jesus Christ and the darkness of the nations. This darkness shall envelop the whole world. This is designed to turn the attention to the fact that the rest of the world would be enveloped in deep spiritual night. The word, and then he says, behold. He talks about behold, and that word, therefore, behold, is used to express strong feelings or surprise or hope, certainty and expectation. That's the word there, behold. It is used to, the word is used to point to God's response on a matter. It indicates a call to realize God is about to do something. God is about to do something. That is what it means. Behold, it calls the attention. It calls the attention on something that is about to happen. And I can tell you that God is up to something. God's plan is that the earth will be enlightened through the church. The church will become the instrument to remove confusion, to remove uncertainty, to remove disorder, and to remove chaos. We will see a manifestation of all kinds of immorality, idolatry, and all kinds of error and profaneness in the nations. And the church will rise to remove these things from the face of the nations. The word darkness has also many symbolic meanings. Darkness here in Genesis 1 verse 2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So we can see here in Genesis 1 that darkness is associated with disorder. It describes uncertainty and confusion. It also speaks of evil done in secret, obscurity, vanity, things forgotten. And that is the current state of the nations, if we have eyes that can see these things. And then he talks about in this state of darkness, that the darkness shall cover the nations. These confusions shall cover the nations. They will be in obscurity, in a form of secrecy. There will be great levels of uncertainty in the nations, and we can see it. Nothing is predictable anymore. And they will be covered in that blanket of darkness. They will be concealed. They will be covered in that state of darkness. In a literal sense, it means to indicate that something is covering something else. As when the waters of the Red Sea covers the Egyptians, totally drown them, cover them fully. That's what the word here means. The earth will be covered. The nations will be covered in darkness. In a metaphoric sense, it is being described as shame covering the guilty, but there is no hiding place because God is uncovering these things. He said, "Deep darkness and the earth will be covered in these darkness. Earth here, simple meaning, means the whole earth under God's domain. According to Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The way the nations operate as if they have created the earth. But we must not lose sight of this fact that the earth is a creation of God himself, and he is the author and the owner of the earth, including the systems of the earth. But it is very interesting that he said that darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness will be upon the nations. Now, if you study land, earth in the Bible, then that was the thing that God has promised to Abram and his descendants. God promised them the earth, God promised them land, God promised them regions, provinces, whatever you want to call it. And then that the identity of Israel was tied up to the earth, not just Israel, but all the other nations. Now, the identity was, Israel's identity was strongly entrenched in the earth. So that is why God gave them the earth. And by giving them the earth, God also gave them actually identity as a people. Anything that comes from the earth has become the identity of the people and the nations. And we find ourselves in that. There's investments. There's, man, there's money, houses, cars. All these things come from the earth. And people pursue these things because it gives them identity. Darkness. If you are pursuing these things in a carnal way, in a fleshy way, then I tell you now that darkness can become your new identity. Everything they hold on, the nations out there onto so dearly, man, houses, cars, investments, money and all these things, suddenly these things are uncertain, these things can become confusing and also unstable. And even carnal believers, who put believers putting their trust in these things and allow it for it to give them false identity, must wake up in this time. Let us not have any confidence in the flesh. God is our rock and God is our hope. And because he lives, we can confidently face today and confidently face tomorrow. Then he takes it further in verse 2, and he talks about not just darkness, but gross darkness. This gross darkness, it depicts a stormy sea that has clouds for a garment, a thick vapor, a deep obscurity. The idea here is that the nations would be enveloped in a cloud of ignorance and sin, so dense and so obscure that no light can penetrate it. And then it says, but the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. The glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. The glory of the Lord will not just be visible, but it will be imminent and evident. People will be able to see it from afar. And he said, gross darkness will be upon the nations, but the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. The word there to see, they will experience it. They will watch it. They will see it with their very eyes. It's a requirement. It says here, to see means a requirement for the observer to make a mental observation and to give attention to what they see. The visible evidence of the Lord's glory on a people is the answer for the nations that is in deep darkness right now. It says in verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to your light. Now, Gentiles, the word Gentiles, or the meaning of the word, it can point to a nation, it can point to a people, a country, and nations other than Israel. So the Gentiles is a picture of the ingathering of the nations as part of the church inheritance. The nations is like a moth that is attracted to light. And we know a moth is coded to be attracted to light. The nations are also coded by God to be naturally drawn to the wisdom and the knowledge and the character of the church. These nations will be the wealth of the church. First the nations, the people in that nations, then the wealth of that nation shall follow. When the kings and the princes, for example, of Saudi Arabia, starts to bow their knees before the Lord, their oil and their gold and their spices, their commodities will follow them into the coffers of the church. We need to display high levels of wisdom, greater than the wisdom in the palaces of these princes and kings. We are the light or the wisdom of this world. We are here to display the highest levels of integrity and knowledge to the principalities and powers and rulers, the Bible says, because the gold and the silver is mine, says the Lord in the book of Haggai. He said, but the gold and that silver that he's talking about is firstly the nations. And in every new season, there must be a demand for the ingathering of the nations. Still here in verse 3, he says, and the kings shall come to the brightness of your rising, the kings of the earth. Now, it is, don't just think of a king, but this statement here denoting an individual with influence, individual with power and authority. That individual can be a chief, he can be a ruler, he can be a captain, he can be a prince, he can be a CEO, he can be a bank manager, he can be a president, he can be a judge, like in the days of Cyrus and also Pharaoh. See, people with influence and power. Isaiah 49 verse 7 says, thus says the Lord, to the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhors, to the servants of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. So there are in the nations, in God's kingdom, also, there are the carriers to the vaults of the earth. They are the people who can sign things into existence. They know they must open the vaults when they see the light from the Church of Jesus Christ. Right now, we see nations don't see the light the way they should see it, and therefore the vaults, the wealth of the earth, is hidden from the church. And he said he will come, verse 3 talks about, he will come to the brightness of your light, speaking of moral and ethical understanding of the laws and the ways of God. Brightness can also mean the forceful expansion of a people or a nation, pushing things into subjection. And then he suddenly turns in verse 4 and he said, lift up your eyes. First you must arise, and then and you must shine, and suddenly it says, lift up your eyes. So it is always going up, lift up, arise. So pushing us into the ascended position. Lift up your eyes. Jerusalem is here dressed as a female with eyes cast down from grief. She is directed to lift them up and to see the great multitudes that are flocking to her. Wherever she could turn her eyes, she would behold them hastening to come to her. That's the whole picture here of lift up your eyes. Don't look further in the dust. Don't look further on the ground. It's time to lift up your eyes. Now, the eyes is a very interesting part of the body. It is the principal part of your face. when you have seen the eye, you have seen the face. And he talks a lot about the eyes, the Bible. But the meaning here this morning is to cast the eyes upon any person or a thing in love and in desire. It is eyes that is looking and longing for God, because God is our desire. So we lift up our eyes so that we can see if we can see Him, because He is our desire, and we want to nail our eyes into His countenance. When we also look, the eye has also the ability to make us see and help us to advance, to grow and to increase in wealth and in might. The eyes also speak of sight, meaning that the eyes give you landscape, the landscape of things, the landscape, the way or how we survey things in the spiritual realm. So there must be an eye that gives us that horizon, that landscape in the spirit to survey things in the spiritual realm. The eye is also the instrument of judgment and the instrument of opinion. The eye is the passion of the mind. Such from the eye will shine forth pride, pity, desire. That's the eye. The eye must help us to bring everything in alignment with the will of God and the plans of God for our lives. But it is not just the arise and shine and just the lifting of the eyes, but when you read the whole Bible, it also talks about lift up your head, O holy people. And that lift up your head speak about a person in a dungeon, a person in prison, a person in jail, a person behind bars. And to say to lift up your head, rather, means to cause him to go up from prison. It declares such a time of escape, a time of deliverance, a time of healing for a person, when the Bible says lift up your head and to escape from your various prisons, whoever you are. So the Bible says, when it says lift up your head, then we also know the book of Psalms said that He is the lifter of our heads. You restore your confidence, your pride. This is what it means to lift up your head and to look the earth in the face, look circumstances and people in the face, and you do it with confidence because you know who is your God. He talks about also about lift up your countenance, meaning a person full of confidence in God, knowing that He is the lifter of our heads. He talks about also the lifting up of your voice. There must be times of weeping, certain times to rejoice. And the voice, the lifting up the voice also speak of you must make time to rejoice. You must make time to weep. You must make time to sing. And you must make time to pray. Your voice must be heard. And the last one talks about the lifting up of your soul, meaning when the kind of speaking here is to anything, to wish or to desire anything or something, also comes down to a deep longing, a deep longing of the soul after God. And that then, that if that desire, that longing is after God, then it means what you desire becomes yours. You're not asking for it, you just desire it, and it becomes yours. Now, these things then is part of our spiritual senses, how we taste the things of God, how we smell the things of God, how we touch the things of God. Then it says in verse 4, lift up your eyes all around you. To panoramically survey, panoramically scan your environment. It allows you to see the full measure of the prophetic promise of God for you. And again in verse 4 it says, lift up your eyes all around. And he says that your sons, see that your sons shall come from afar. Now, if you read the whole or understand and study the whole Old Testament, then the word here for son or sons is mentioned 5,000 times in the Old Testament. It must be a serious word to mention it 5,000 times. And the word therefore for sons or son means a member of an order, a member of a certain class of people. It also means a person with a certain quality and characteristics, or a person of a certain place. But the Hebrew word, by now we know, is the word ben. And it means to build, to rebuild, and to construct. That is the meaning of the word there for ben, which the word ben is used to describe the building of a city, the building of a temple, and the building of a family. Builder of the family, builder of cities. In the same way, if you read the portion of scripture there, in the same way Eve was built from Adam's rib, Adam, the son of God, was used by God to start a family, starting with Eve. And there are powerful sons, I can tell you, in God, sons that is highly skillful, highly experienced and seasoned in God, but they stuck in all the wrong places spiritually. Now, this prophetic call this morning to rise and shine is also for them to start looking for where they fit into a spiritual family, so that they can start to contribute to help build cities, help build families, and help to build the house of the Lord. But there are also powerful sons still stuck in their sins, not serving the Lord at this point in time. But when they come, they will advance the kingdom of God quickly. And then it says again, and still in verse 4, it says, your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And daughters is a picture of cities, churches, and villages. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. The word there for nursed means to be stayed up, to be firm, to build up, to establish, and to support. The primary meaning then is that of providing stability and confidence, the same way as a baby would find in the arms of his parents. The word is used to signify support of a pillar, nurture and nourishment, or a house firmly founded like a secure nail that finds a solid place to grip. Metaphorically speaking, the word conveys the notion of faithfulness, trustworthiness, such that one could fully depend on. It means to be firm. This word there for your daughter shall be nursed at your side. It also means to be firm and unshakable, such as one would safely lean on God or on someone. And I can tell you this morning that God will give you, in this new time in your life, God will give you relationships that you can lean on safely. Relationships that will carry you until your condition is stable and firm. Verse 5 says here, then you shall see and flow together. That word to flow together, it talks about to sparkle like a running stream, which speaks of a conflux of people or conflux of nations. That word for flow also speaks about the flowing of the wealth and the abundance of the nations. It's like when one river meeting another river, and they are joining waters, and then from there on they run sweetly together as one river, as the same river. This notes the abundance of the united joy and delight, or they shall also mean that they shall flock together. Beautifully explained in Psalm 133, it talks here about the revival of joy. He said, come see how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwells together. The beauty of streams that have united, streams of joy and delight, the same people, the same joy, the same delight in their hearts, how they come together and start to flow like a stream. He said, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged. The word there for fear, it means that the heart shall be deeply excited by the numerous and the simultaneous things that God is doing. It produces awe when we see the numerous and simultaneous things that God is doing, and then that in itself will produce awe and reverence. And with it comes a conviction that God is near. God is near. You just know that God is near and that this is His work in your life. We know it because it never exists in other circumstances in my life. Jeremiah 33 verse 9 says, then it shall be to me, the Lord, a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provided for you. So the heart will be enlarged because it needs space for the mixture of the fear of the Lord and the joy of the Lord in our hearts. The word therefore enlarge also means to gain space and territory. And the psalmist praising God for giving them strength and also social advancement. And finally, the word therefore, your hearts are being enlarged. It's like to become wide and spacious, like chambers. God wants to enlarge your territory, and God wants to enlarge you as a person. And then, as I'm preparing to close this message in verse 5, it says, because, and then he talks about, I will enlarge you, because of the, he talks about in verse 5, because the abundance of the sea, talking now about the influence that was stretched from coast to coast. Here in South Africa, we talk about the ocean economy, but we talk here in the spirit about the influence that was stretched from one coast to another. Things that is coming to us, and the things that is coming to us sound like the noise, the sound as of rain, of the raging oceans. This is the sound of a multitude of people that is coming and flowing together. It's a people that is coming, and with that people comes a vast amount of wealth. It is wealth not just measured in monetary value, but we're talking about wealth in influence, wealth in authority, integrity, and wealth of justice that is in our midst. It also It is also an idea denoting its great prosperity and God's glory when all nations should come under the influence of the truth of the gospel that we are preaching. The sea, when you read about the sea in the Bible, it's a constant symbolic picture of people. People and nations, the Bible says, are the inheritance of the church. And the Bible said that the sea, this ocean economy, will give up its wealth, which will be people, the islands, the nations. They will come to the rising glory of the church, because the Bible said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. So we are looking forward to receive the wealth from China. We're looking forward to receive the wealth from India and Africa and of the entire world. They shall be devoted, these wealth shall be devoted to the service of our God. The wealth of the Gentile nations will allow us to rule in the midst of our enemies. We shall see and we shall receive the best of the nations. We shall rule with a force of dignity and integrity and with spiritual fitness. People with capacity shall be added unto us. The strength will be financial, the strength will be numerical, and the strength will be spiritual. We will now see how all of this will start to flow together like one big river. All these things, God will now channel it to come into one stream to us. He says in verse 6, he said, the multitudes of camels will cover you. The multitude of camels will cover you. A camel was a property of great wealth, especially in the East, nations like Arabia. It was called the animals, these camels, they were, it was called the ships of the desert. They were the beast of burden that could cross the desert's floor effortlessly. These are the beasts that carried the gold, the spices, and other rich treasures from various nations. It implies the coming in all nations unto Christ, and therefore they are presenting the choicest commodities of their respective nations. Then it said, the camels will cover you. And then it also talks of dromedaries. It talks about in the same verse of dromedaries. Now dromedary is a species, not a subspecies, but it's just another species of a camel that is found principally in Arabia. It is, and this dromedaries is a different camel from the others. It is chiefly remarkable for its swiftness. It can cover more ground in a day than the best horses will perform in 10 days. They can also endure thirst for days and for days. And these, the Bible talks of these dromedaries, they shall make haste in bringing in the riches to the church. It speaks of a group of people who operate in urgency and with speed to cover the house of the Lord. They are ready to invest everything God has placed in their hands to advance the kingdom agenda of God. They are moved by what they observe God is doing. And then suddenly list nations. And they start with one nation talking about where the wealth will come from. It talks about Midian. Now we know that Midian means strife and contention. And in Midian, he was the fourth son of Abraham and Keturah, and was the father of the Midianites. Now, Midian is also a Babylonian province, a political designated administrative area. They are one, these Midianites, they were one of the strongest oppositions to Israel, and they were never at peace with Israel, always in opposition with Israel, hate Israel. Now, a hostile attitude towards Israel. But here, it says here, that they also will come on camels, and they will bring the wealth. So support for building God's house will come from hostile and unexpected places. They will see something that will tell them to devote their resources to God's kingdom. Governments will call on the nation, on the church, to work alongside them to correct faults in the substructure of their nations. Not just Midian, but it talks about many other regions like Sheba, Ephah. They carry within their bellies the spices, the gold, precious stones, and the incense. And these things like spices and incense, so symbolically speak about the nation of worship and prayers, meaning when these nations, these Gentile nations, and these Gentile regions, Babylonian regions and provinces, when they come, they shall bring to the Lord different and unique, a unique blend of worship and praise never seen before. And they will offer unto God new songs of praise. They will express new appreciations and thanksgivings. Father, I thank you this morning for this word. I believe that this is a prophetic word for your people in a time like this. This is a time, Father, that there is a call, Lord, a clarion call, Father, to position ourselves, to ready ourselves for a new phase. This time, Father, it will not be a phase of persecution and of resistance, but it will be a phase of the flowing of the blessings, the prosperities, the advancements of the Lord in our life. And I pray that this word, Lord, will impart that belief, impart that desire to see these things coming into fruition, Lord. I pray this morning that this word will impart the strength to open the prophetic eyes, to rise and to see on the horizons the reality of these things, Lord, the certainty of these things. I speak faith, Lord, over many of our hearts that is listening. I speak faith, Lord. I speak belief, oh God, over the minds of your people, Father. Oh God, and they shall start to believe that these things is their portion. These things is their inheritance. These things are the prophetic things that is outstanding. But now, Father, you want to bring fulfillment. You want to complete us in this time. And I release this prayer, Father, that we shall now come in line in our hearts, in our minds, shall come into alignment with the word of the Lord and start to trust you, Lord, and start to follow now that we have made the observation, now that we have surveyed our surroundings, Lord, and we come to the place of certainty that this is my time, this is the season, this is the strategic time, and the conditions in my life for the Lord to impart, oh God, these things into my life. I now pray that there will be a change of heart, there will be a change of mind to receive the things of God, oh God, at this point in time. Yes, we pray for the churches who understand the vision of the Lord this morning, that you shall add strong sons to these houses, Lord, that you shall add, Lord, a strong, skillful, experienced sons to these houses that will bring another form of wealth, Lord, in the spirit to these houses. I pray for this, Lord. We shall see the sons that still stuck, Lord, in the world, but powerful sons, Lord. I pray and I speak a word over their lives, and I release them from the dungeons of the earth. I release them from the prisons, O God, that holds them back to come, Father, into the knowledge, O God, of your word this morning, Father. I pray these things, Lord. I pray that we shall see the abundance. See the abundance. We pave the way this morning, Father, to see the abundance, how the wealth, O God, of the nations and the storerooms of the nations, the vaults of the nations, the bellies of the nations, shall now go open and flow into the direction of the church, Father. We trust you for these things as we are building your house, that you shall raise up the sons, the bends, O God, that shall come to help to build the cities, the bends, O God, that shall come to help and to build the temple of the Lord and to build the families. I pray, O God, that the daughters, O God, that shall be nursed in our sight, the rising of the spirit of comfort, O God, that shall come and remove the spirit of mourn, the spirit of pain, O God, the spirit of sickness. But joy shall come in the morning. Joy is our strength in our bones. Comfort us, O God, after all the losses and after all the sacrifices and after all the trust in you, Lord. This is the time, Father, to comfort Zion and dress Zion, Lord, this morning like a princess from the palaces. You dress her, O God, with the best glorious an expensive attire in the Spirit, Lord. Yes, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you shall turn, O God, the hearts of the kings towards the church, O God, and the Cyruses and the Pharaohs and the Dariuses of our days shall know to release the resources to build the house of the Lord. I speak peace over your people. I speak healing over your people. In Jesus' name, may the grace and the peace of the Lord be your portion. Amen and amen.